This is September 27th, 1981, Albuquerque, New Mexico. Good morning, Bartholomew.
I wanted to speak on something today that I don't believe I have ever discussed with any of you, with one exception, and this was a reading given this week, which brought it into my awareness that perhaps I had never quite explained something in a way that I might have to, for some of you, make some kind of understanding easier in your life, and it is this. I have said again and again that surrounding you from lifetime to lifetime to lifetime, you carry with you the accumulated experiences of all of your incarnation. This means many things, but obviously one of the things it means is there is no past and there is no future. It's all here. If you say it's in the past, but yet it's here, what does this mean? That your body walked through it in the past, but this is the future, this is the present, and it is here. So how can you keep talking about past, present, so forth? But the important thing is this. Let us use as an example, and I think this is a true example for most of you, that you have spent at least one lifetime, if not six, if not 10, if not 12 of your lifetimes, pursuing what you would call spiritual truth, spiritual understanding. And you've gone through it in many ways. Some of you have been monks, some of you have been nuns, some of you have been dervishes, some of you have been holy men, holy women, so on. All of these things accumulated. Not that you have reached enlightenment and are free and wonderful, but that you have attempted, that you have tried to bring this quality forward in your understanding. Now, comes this lifetime. And you enter in, and let us say that you are a man and you have obligations of maybe four children and a wife and a mortgage and all of these things. And in the midst of this, someone brings forward to you the idea of spiritual freedom. Now, they can bring it forward when you're 20 and you look on it as an intellectual exercise, how interesting. They bring it up again at 27, and you say, well, that's a little more interesting. I'll maybe read a book or two. And then they bring it forward again at 42, and all of a sudden you say, ah, I understand. Now I want to, I will become serious about this. Now, what is the difference? I have told you again and again and again, the one thing you can do is to trust your own process. And this is what I mean. When you are 42, let us say, and your children and the obligations thereof have been met in some kind of responsible, social, financial, emotional way, you have perhaps now more what we would call time of your own, time to be the kind of person that you would wish to be, the kind of goals that you would now like to pursue that are new, different from those of husband, father, Boy Scout leader, or whatever it is you've been involved in. All right. What has happened? Now, what man says, because they cannot stand any kind of limitless view of things, says that man has a certain pattern that he goes through. At age 21, he activates this, at 30, and so forth. And they even, I see, divide them into zones. I see now that you cannot move from, you cannot become sexually interested at age 50 unless you were interested at age 20. You see, there are zones that you have to move through. Oh, you have a wonderful job of regimenting your life according to somebody else's idea. The fact is that you activate, and I would like you to try and understand this rather cosmological lie that I'm about to give you. All right. At age 42, when your process now knows it is time, you activate from all of your accumulated past lives the power and the understanding and the yearning of those lives that you were pursuing the spiritual goal. You bring that power forward. You know you're covered with them. They're everywhere. You know you've lived again and again. You bring the power of those lives close to you. And you begin working again with all of that data. Do you understand? You now take all of that energy that you had spent. Nothing is wasted. You see, every increment of your search is not wasted. If it's time to retire from your job, and now it's time, which was obligatory, and it was necessary, it was meaningful, but now it's time to move into a new life. Well, what happens? You begin the stirrings of wanting to go into retirement, wanting to bring out a new quality, and all you're doing is going back into your past and pulling those old incarnative wisdoms, mistakes, to now be seen again and done with clarity instead of with confusion. You're using all the power that you've ever put into all of these things, and you bring them forward, and you are now re-experiencing. Do you understand? The reason they can say nothing is ever lost is that it truly is not. When it is time to activate that part of you that is the mother, do you think that would be very helpful if it came when you were 80? I really doubt that. The Tao, your own rhythm, knows when you are ready. When you are ready. These rules that you should never enter, you know, into a marital relationship in your 50s, how do you know? How do you know? Maybe you came in with the absolute conviction that you had other work to do, that you had been totally irresponsible in the financial sense. And that it was due to this pursuance of wanting to balance that kind of understanding that you came in determined to delegate those numbers of years in your own life toward that kind of understanding. And then when it was time, when the movement was right, then further things can be taken up, such as marriage, whatever you might choose to do. I'm trying to shake you free of your ideas that if you do not do things in a proper sequence, that you are not following some kind of divine blueprint. There are no blueprints. There are none. You do what you must do at the time that your Tao, that your own process says, now is the time to do it. And this is why, my friends, you have no business judging anybody else's process. None. Who are you to say? Who are you to say? Unless you can tell me and them that you have total access to all of their past incarnations, if you can say that, then yes, I think you have a right to judge that then. But that is a rare person, do you not agree? That can look at another and have access to all of theirs. Do you have access to your own? You see, this kind of judgment that other people should be doing what you decide they should be doing, when they should be doing it. Those of you that are parents, think carefully on this. Those of you who insist that your children go to school, go to college, and be very, very successful, this is you having decided when their pattern should unfold in your way. And it is your judgment. It is not theirs. Trust two things. Trust your process, and at the same time, please trust their process too. Any advice you give, understand, a prerequisite should be, this is my own view of things, and it could be incorrect for you. But I do not feel that you give out advice that way, my friends. I feel that when people say, oh no, you shouldn't do that. Oh no, that's not right. Oh no, you're wrong. Oh no. What you're saying is, you're not giving them any room to say, this is just my opinion. You are carrying the hallmark of truth. If you say it, it must be so. Especially as parents. If you say it, it must be so. And they should follow. And how come they don't know that you are all wise and all benevolent and all loving? Because you have never acted all wise, all benevolent, and all loving. Why should they assume that you are? From the earliest stages, is that the view they see of you? Constantly compassionate, constantly patient, constantly uplifting. You know, they see too. Remember, you know, children see you as well as you see them. It's a two-way road. So once in a while it might do you good to be retrospective in your being about how your children might be seeing you. It might not be very pleasant, but it might be a little bit helpful. All right, now, why did I bring this particular thing forward? Mainly, what I'm trying to get you to see is that I've said it, and I don't think you believe me. The universe is on your side. And you can be absolutely assured that if your deepest yearning is for spiritual understanding, then somehow your life will relegate itself into loss of job, into change of job, into loss of mate, into loss of children, into loss of prestige, into whatever it is, to reorganize according to the new energies coming in that now need to be seen and worked with. Do you understand? Most of the time, my friends, all of you humans have to do it by ending one thing before you can totally throw yourself into another. It is almost the law. Humans have a hard time bleeding through from one area to the other. Did you understand what I mean? Do you understand? It's, you almost have to say, all right, now that's finished and done with. I'm putting this over here, and now I'm going to begin this next phase of my life. And when you have in your life these big, the big moments, the big moments of loss, the big moments of power, the big moments of receiving, whatever it is, understand that a part of you, this is not God being nice to you. You know, you don't have to sit around waiting for good God to be good to you. That isn't the way it's done. It is so much simpler and so much more logical. You decide. The vastness of you decides, now is the time. I'm going to bring that forward. I'm now going to begin to work with it. All right. Does that mean it's automatic? I wish it did. I wish it did. Many of you have gone to a lot of extremes to change your lives, only to be the same when you got to the new life. Do you understand me? You go to a lot of trouble. You move. You sell houses and furniture, or else whatever you do. You understand? So much goes into this, and you arrive in the new place, and 2 months later, you're just the same as you were before. The only difference is you have a new house, you have a new car, maybe you have a new job, but you are just the same. Now, why? And this is the important thing. Why? When you become aware that change is coming into your life, however small, would you please be wise enough to say to yourself, what part of my vastness is trying to teach me something new, to help me move into some new kind of experience? What now is required of me that wasn't required of me yesterday? And you have to learn to listen. You have to learn to listen to your inner and to people around you, because they will tell you too. You have to learn to be awake. The only thing necessary in this entire process is to stay awake. You don't have to worry about bringing those energies forward. They come forward. You've already taken care of that process. They move towards you. But what you do, to the degree to which you are awake, is the degree to which you either move into those new experiences and become, in your terms, newborn, or you do not. You know, if you did this properly, you would be newborn again and again and again and again and again. It's not a one-time thing. It goes on endlessly. You know, the petals unfold to a certain degree, to a certain increment, and then you spend a little while absorbing, understanding, integrating with that new energy, and then comes a new energy activated from the past, from the incarnative situation, and the petals open again, and then it takes a while to absorb, assimilate, to become one with that energy. You don't lose. Remember, I keep saying, if you could see your life as a flower unfolding, and the bowl of the leaves containing all of the energies, you don't lose what you have done. It doesn't move out of you. It stays there. I mean, it's a wondrous whole that you're creating in your whole life. You are becoming whole. Your life is a wholeness. And all of these different lifetimes that come forward to help you on to the next level of understanding, they just, it's like holding them in the palms of your hand. You don't open your fingers. You hold it. And so you become deeper. This is why usually An older person is more interesting than a younger person. Why? Because they have depth now. Because the movements of the flower is so that there's a depth here. They have a depth of experience. They have a depth of understanding. They have a depth of wholeness that a young person doesn't yet have. Do you understand? I'm trying to get you to see this is a beautiful process. You are not in control of how that petal opens. There's only one place where you have control, and that is this. When the new movement comes and the petals are opened, and the new energy rushes in into the bowl, into the flower, into the cup of it, you have a choice. You can stand outside of it and ignore it and choose to see things in the old way, not allow yourself to change, not allow yourself to question the new energies, not listening to the promptings. Let's go back again and again. Not listening to the promptings that say, hey, how about a change here, folks? How about a little difference here? How about a little bit more? How about a little more life in your bowl? How about a little more? If you are afraid, the energy will be there all around you, and you will do nothing to absorb it. You will be so, I hate to use this word, you will be so addicted to the energy of the last stage that you will be unwilling to change. I repeat, you will be so addicted to the energy of the last stage that you will not be willing to change. Because the thing that's required, if you're thinking even an increment of time about this, is that you have to change, do you not? The new energy pours in. You can either leave it on the surface, unintegrated, like oil and water, just totally on the surface, or you can pull it down in into some kind of a wonderful blending so that the old and the new move together now in depth, in power, in deeper wisdom, deeper understanding. Many of you are frightened. For example, let's take the typical experience. Someone in their 20s gets married and with orange blossoms and so forth, and it ends badly, or what they consider to be badly, which means they've been hurt, which is what you consider bad. All right, I consider it good. Not because I'm a masochist and wish you to be in pain, but because I have seen again and again, it is through those pains that you start changing your life. You see, if you don't do it for yourself, if you don't make these changes for yourself, oftentimes the other person does. Do you understand me? If you have two people with equal fear, all right, they probably will never change. They will go on and die, and it will all have been very much of a sameness. But if one has courage and the other does not, the one with courage is going to change, is going to make moves. And it's going to cause ripples and confusion and pain and suffering to the other one. Are you following this? Is this clear? All right. Now, let us say that this is pain and anxiety and frustration. All right. Then years go by, 10 years, 12 years, 15 years, in which time you now become, if you're a woman, let us say, you realize that the energy coming in is that energy now that's saying to you, look, you need to be responsible. You need to feel powerful in this world. You need to not see yourself as a hausfrau that can make the best strudel on the block. You have to be more than that. You have to be capable. And why not? Don't you understand this is a part of your totality saying, all right, now is the time to bring this face forward because it's unfinished business. And so you move out into the world. You take a job, perhaps as a nurse. You decide that you're going to become competent, you're going to be efficient, and you are that. And you become strong. And you take into yourself this feeling, and you are that. 15 years goes by. And if you are a woman, a man comes into your life. If you're a man, a woman comes into your life. And again, you say, oh no, I remember about that. Oh no, no thank you. I remember all about that. And I'm not going to go near that one. You know, pass. I'll pass. No, this is the choice. This is the choice. One of the basic human understandings comes through relationships, through deep relationships. If you are avoiding relationships because of fear, let me assure you that you will have to return again and again and again until there is no fear. That doesn't mean that all your relationships are going to be heavenly, made in heaven, cast on the waves of beauty and bliss. It means they're going to be hard and difficult, but you're not going to be afraid anymore. You're going to say, all right, I will enter, but I will enter consciously, with an awakened mind and heart, and I will not be run by my old childish fears and withdrawals and little childlike responses to the world of, don't hurt me, don't hurt me, I'm just too weak. There isn't anyone in this room that should ever say that. So comes the choice again. Should you move into relationship or not? Are you going to take that new energy now as an adult, mature, and say, all right, fine, now I will try. It will be a different world because I'm mature, I'm not a child anymore. Something has changed in me. Over and over and over again, I see people whose intuitive sense is screaming at them, it's time for a change. And they won't do it. And then all of a sudden, the world does it for them. And one should be really very grateful. The job is not to keep your life the same from birth to death. I repeat, your job is not to keep your life the same from birth to death. It is to integrate as many of the multitudinous beautiful faces of mankind into one wholeness in one lifetime. A wholeness. That's the job. And you come in knowing your weaknesses. You come in knowing the areas that you need to work on. You come in knowing where you're going to be weak and hoping that someone will be around to give you courage when you need it. But again and again, I see you don't trust your own promptings. The world yells at you, and you yell at yourself. Your dreams yell at you, and you remain asleep. It's too scary. It's too frightening. I would like to ask you to really consider one thing. Which is more frightening? Change or keeping yourself just as you are now until the day you die? Now, which one of those is more frightening to you? I am very serious about this because the fear that I see reflected in people's faces is the face of change. They don't want change because they are not sure. They have lost their grounded. Their feet are sliding around on oil and they don't know where they're going to go. They don't know if poverty will be the next phase. They don't know. And I want to tell you something. Let it go. If poverty is there, it will be there and you will meet it. You've met it before and you'll meet it again. This time with humor. This time with understanding. This time with compassion. These are old lessons. Whatever your Tao has in store for you, it has in store because it's what you need. And because you are part of that Tao and you want to meet your own fullness. You want to meet your own fullness. That's what this whole thing is all about. To say that you started your 21st year in such a profession and ended up in your 63rd year in the same profession is not entirely optimistic. Now, it may be that some people within that realm have changed and moved and stayed in the same box, but it's not likely. Do you understand? It's not likely unless they are a very dynamic person. Then I can see how they would. But most of the time, you force yourselves into these major conditions, all right? I'm stuck, so I'm going to get rid of my wife and get myself a new lady. Or I'm going to get rid of my job and get myself a new job. Or I'm going to, all these things. Do you have to go around destroying all of this life like that? No, you don't have to. Do you know what you have to do? Is when that energy comes in, you have to be so much a part of that new power that it starts teaching you where to move instead of you deciding. You allow it to teach you. There is a lesson when each movement of the petals, there is a lesson there. Something is there, a newness. When I say lesson, almost every one of you thinks, problem. Don't you? If I say lesson, doesn't this mean problem, difficulty, striving? I would like you to change that, if you could, into unfoldment. That's the next face that needs to be seen. You have many beautiful faces all of the time. You activate them in order to understand your wholeness. And if you aren't going to do it consciously, then let me assure you, your Tao will do it for you. And they will do it in many different ways. You have to understand, the universe is on your side. Those things that you see as absolute horrors in your life are the most wonderful things that can happen, in the sense that now a new face is there. A new energy field has been activated. A new ending. You know, when you ask about karma, I have trouble with the word because I don't think you understand it. And I don't think I can explain it. So we have a difficulty. But I have the sense, and please correct me if I'm wrong, I have the sense that you think that karma only works in the negative sense. I never hear people talking about their good karma. I just hear a lot of talk about their bad karma. I never hear them talking about reaping the rewards of a wonderful karmic debt. I only hear about the difficulties of carrying the burden of a negative karmic debt. Well, the fact is that it isn't like that. What it really is fragments. Please try and follow me. You move through lifetimes and lifetimes and lifetimes, and you are mostly half-hearted in what you do. Let us say that you have decided to be a mother. But at the same time that you're being a mother, a part of you is saying, but I really want to be a chorus dancer. And the other part is saying, but I want to be a brain surgeon. And the other part is saying, well, I want to be Farrah Fawcett or whatever. You know, you've got all of these things going. And never do you stop and say, what I am is what I'm going to be totally, wholly, completely, wondrously. And I'm not going to concern myself with anybody's opinion. I'm going to do it. And when you do not do things with your total being, you do not finish them off. You leave them as fragments. You're halfway. In Mr. Moore's terms, you're half-baked. You're not finished yet. You're just not done. It's not finished. Now, what happens with this half-baked loaf that's floating out there somewhere in your psyche? To be whole, you have to go and pull that loaf back into the iron and the pain or the joy of the fuel of this lifetime. And many of you have come this time to finish off your half-baked loaves. Some of you have a lot of them. Some of you have very few of them. It doesn't matter. If you have 25, you can get them done in one lifetime, whereas the person next to you maybe has one and never gets around to it. There are no rules. There are no rules. But that half-baked loaf must come back in and finish its process. It must. So then, what is the obvious solution? Here we go again. The obvious solution, whatever you are doing, be absolutely whole with it. Totally it. Totally what you are. The person that you are today, be total about it. No guilt. No anxiety about, oh, I really wish I wasn't doing this. Oh, I really shouldn't be doing this. I really think I should be doing something else, and so on. Endlessly. The housewife who spends her time fantasizing about the things that she would do if she was not a mother is losing it. Because right now, is there no feeling of rightness about being the mother? About being total about being the mother? Is there no feeling of rightness about that? It's not going to last forever. Then do it, but do it wholeheartedly. Become totally with it, immersing the energies of motherhood, of wifehood, of whatever goes with it, but be total about it. Don't be spinning fantasies about, oh, I really wish I were doing this. All right, That might not be relevant, but let's try one that might, some of you. The spiritual seeker. Should we try that one on? The spiritual seeker says, oh, if I really didn't have this wife who needed all these things, I could devote myself totally to the spiritual quest. Or the wife or the single person that says, you know, if I really didn't have to support this house and this car and all these payments, I could really give myself totally to the quest. This is where self-deception is absolutely to your disadvantage, and this is how it works. You decide somewhere in your life that you want to be spiritually enlightened. You look around at your life and you say, uh-oh, I can't do it. It's clear, I can't do it. Look at all this stuff around me. Their responsibilities, their obligations, and so forth and so forth. They're everywhere. So what do you do? This is unfair, but you do it. Let me be very clear. What you usually do is say, I blame my environment. I am so spiritually oriented that I would just throw myself wholeheartedly and abandon myself to God if I didn't have all these husbands and wives and kids and obligations and bills and jobs and friends and so forth. Is that true? I don't believe you. I believe self-deception has slipped in. Please go right ahead. It's all right. It's all right. Self-deception has slipped in. Because you're doing exactly what you want to be doing. You're doing exactly what you want to be doing. So whatever it is, just remember, if you are whole with what you're doing, it will end. Those of you who say, I wish I wanted the search to be more powerful in my life, I agree with you. But don't worry about it. Understand, your Tao will get you to that place. And then you will stand there, and then again it will be addressed, and now you can do what you wanted to do. You have met your obligations. You are really ready now for some degree of renunciation. Now is the time. Now is the time. Does that mean that you don't pursue truth as deeply as you can as a housewife, as a working father, as a working person, as a whatever you might be? No. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying if you look at yourself closely in this lifetime, you will see that there's plenty of time to move through whatever degree of spiritual truth you can touch, doing the best with it, and being wholehearted about the now and not yearning. Do you understand the difference? You don't abandon looking for truth. You simply see it as one of the parts of your life. And you don't fantasize and beat yourself that you are not totally immersed in the spiritual quest. There is no one in this room that I've seen that is totally immersed in the quest. To some degree or other, there is always some other game going on the side. So what? That doesn't matter. You just follow your own instincts. If your instinct says, I only want to spend an hour a day, then only spend an hour a day. But don't spend the other 23 being guilty or being upset or thinking yourself unworthy or incapable or whatever it is. It's who you are. Do that hour, give yourself totally. Do you understand what you do? You decide it's got to be 24 hours a day, and it's only 1 hour a day. So in that 1 hour a day, you're going, oh, really, I should be doing this 24 hours a day. Oh, I really should be doing this 24 hours a day. Are you doing anything? You're not doing anything. You're just moaning because you aren't doing it as much as your mind says you should be. Your life will tell you what you should be doing. Your inner instincts will tell you what you should do. But for that 1 hour, if you are totally there, totally with it, totally absorbed in and taken up by it, then that is sufficient for the day thereof. And if in the next 10 years it's 2 hours, in the next 5 years it's 15 hours, how do you? Don't worry. Don't worry. Because you have set the game against yourselves. This is where we get back to expectations. I keep saying, expectations are death. Expectations are death because you keep saying, I am not good enough this way. I am not worthy this way. And you spend all of your time feeling these feelings. Where what you should be saying is, I am totally right for where I stand today. The reason I brought forward the truth of reactivation of past life experiences is because I think they come to you again and again and again, and you choose to ignore them. They come in dreams. They come in your daydreams. They come in your thought patterns. They may even come in the kinds of books you decide to read. All kinds of things. A typical example in the Southwest is the Indian. Some of you have been Indians, and not all of you. There's this wonderful, glamorous idea that if you live in the Southwest, that you have many lifetimes as an Indian. Probably not. Probably not. But some of you might have. And there's a certain amount of deep, natural wisdom that comes from that. And when you have finished with other areas of your life and are ready now to move into the natural state, which is what the Indian represents, then things start to come into your periphery. You know, you might move to the Southwest because this will begin to activate. You might move into an area where Indian lore is heavy and people around you are discussing it. And when you run into friends who know people who have this kind of consciousness. And so soon you find yourself becoming more and more immersed in that. Why? Because there is something incredibly important as a fragment half-baked loaf that has to come back in now and to be fulfilled in its wholeness. Unfinished business. Do I mean karma? Do I mean people? And that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about inside understanding. Every life you have ever led has had an incredible power to transform you in every lifetime, and you've missed it because it's been half-hearted. And now you can pick them all up and you can finish them all out. Now, does this mean you have to be an intellectual giant? No. In fact, if you are an intellectual giant, you probably don't have as much chance. Because an intellectual giant will try to intellectualize everything. The fact remains that out of the power that is activated out of the goodness of your own universal Tao, you will be given all of the understanding, all of the energy, all of the compassion, to be able now to understand what's happening to you. There is nothing you have to do except stay awake. If you are awake, you will sense the change. You will sense the power. You will sense the feeling. You will sense it. You will move from one kind of person to another, and you will understand what's happening to you. If you do not stay awake, you will just feel like you are a little tiny boat in the middle of a huge ocean, and a lot of people feel just like that. The person who says, I don't know anything, my life is just total chaos, I don't understand anything that's ever happened to me, anything that ever will, I don't understand, these things are happening, and blah, 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 all they're trying to say is, they don't understand, and they don't, and why don't they? So they go to psychics, or they go to doctors or psychologists, or they go somewhere and say, look, I don't understand, you do it, you understand for me. Does that make any sense to you at all? Is that really any sense at all? The responsibility lies here with you to make sense of it yourself. And how do you do this? Is it so hard? No, I was watching Miss Thomas in this very unfortunate for her experience with this machine that doesn't do this. It does the wrong thing. It doesn't record. It gives out and music comes and so forth. All this happening.
She
all right.
Always do that to me.
And I'm thinking how much more complicated that is to understand than to understand the unfoldment of Miss Thomas's life. Why? Miss Thomas did not put this machine together. Therefore, there are parts of it that she does not know about or will ever know about unless she decides to learn it. But she put her life together. Every day, every hour, every moment, she created. And what you have created, you will understand. Because you created it. You have the power. Sony does not. You have the power. And as you begin to understand and claim your power of understanding of your own unfoldment, then you begin to participate with your own strength. Then you begin to participate with your whole karmic evolution and you begin to become whole. You put it together. You can understand it. You can understand why it happened and what you have to do about it. And is it deep and difficult? No. Just shut up. How many times do I say this? Someday I will shut up. Just shut up and listen. You can feel it. You can hear it. You can know it. You can understand it. You can. No one else can.
We will entertain them now.
Entertain them. Excellent term.
General guidelines to awake, to get awake and stay awake.
Excellent question. The question. Excellent question.
Are there any guidelines to getting awake and then staying awake? Two different processes. Those of you who have been my friend for a while will just turn this off. You've only heard it a million times. The only technique that I see of any lasting non-egotistical value, is staying absolutely in the moment. Absolutely in this moment. With your thoughts, watching the thought of this moment, the emotion of this moment, the feeling tone. Every moment, my friend, has a feeling tone. Are you aware of that? Every moment has a feeling tone. Some of you think that it's just all the same. You wake up in the morning and then you go to bed and it's all on neutral all the way in between. Not true. Every moment has a feeling tone. And by that I mean literally a tone that you can fall into, that you can drop into, that you can become one with in the deep sense of feeling what it is. Out of this moment, my friend, you begin to feel what the moment is all about. You begin to sense. You see, when one becomes afraid, one jumps either in the future and fantasizes, oh, it's going to be all right, and I tell you what I'm going to do. I'll take two loans out at the bank, and then I'll trade in the car, and then I won't work. And you go, it goes and goes and goes and goes. Nothing to do with now. Or one moves into the past and starts going through the past debris. These are the two extremes. All right. In the moment, you have yourself, all of the accumulations of all of your lifetimes, and the wonderful moment of the now where it all joins up. It is only in the moment that all of it joins up. Do you understand me? It is only by the quiet feeling of this moment that you begin to trust your feeling, that you begin to pay attention to this feeling, not to your thoughts of future and past, but exactly what is going on in you right now. When that is activated, when those periphery lifetimes are activated, that energy comes so close to you, it almost screams. Literally. In fact, some of you wake up screaming at night. A past life, fear, now coming forward to be dealt with. In the moment, you sense intuitively, with your intuitive faculty, which every one of you has, what the next moment should be, what the choice should be, bringing a decision. Let us say a decision comes up. A yearning has gone on. Maybe some of you can identify with this. Your job has become humdrum or even maybe difficult. It takes you away from your family too much. I don't care. Whatever you want to say. And all of a sudden you decide somewhere in your consciousness it's time to make a change. This means probably that that part of your life has completed itself. and a new part of you needs to come forward. All right? But fear stands in the way, does it not? I mean, how are you going to meet your obligations? You have all these people to take care of, and so on and so on. All right, so fear in the future and trying to be somebody that you no longer want to be come in. Now, in the moment, there is an overriding knowing, and this you can only experience and will not believe me until you do, an overriding knowing that right now, in the midst of all of it, everything is just fine. In this moment, everything is just fine. And that is awakened. When you move into the past or into the future, you are asleep because they are not here. There is only now. There is only now. So out of the power of the now, of the knowing of the physicalness of you, the mentalness of you, the emotionalism of you, the astral view, the spiritual view, all of that is here, tremendously powerful. And out of it comes a knowing, okay, this is the choice, I know what to do. Take that thought, what to do? New job, bring it into the moment. How does it feel? In the moment, not in your mind projected in fear, how does it feel inside you? It is only future that frightens, based on fears from the past. In the moment of the worst extremities, in the worst extremities, people again and again, I hear nurses say this over and again, I don't know how people stand it. I don't know how people stand it. Well, the people that are standing it are standing it. They're all right. It's all of this projection. In the now, the wonderful, wonderful delight of life is in the now, everything is all right. And to me, being awakened means being in the moment. And what happens, and the reason it gets easier, is that let us say you start out with a ratio of, what shall we be benevolent, 70 to 30. 70% egotistically oriented, manipulating, which means that they're afraid, so they're going to manipulate their environment, they're going to worry, they're going to be anxious, they're going to do whatever. 30% quiet, grounded, everything's all right. Right? 70-30. The closer you get to the 50%, that's the hard time. The 70 to the 50. Making yourself stay in the moment. Forcing yourself in the moment. I will not worry about that anymore. I know where it goes. How many of you really think that your agitated minds really get you anywhere? Have you watched where agitation takes you? Down the road, down the road. You end up in the same place. Making decisions about a future moment that is not even here. And when the future moment arrives, guess what? It's all different. It's not like it was supposed to be at all in your fantasy. The person doesn't say the same thing you thought they were going to say. The events didn't turn out like you thought they were going to do. It was all different. Why did you bother? Because you wanted some kind of future assurance. Oh, if that happens, this is what I'll do. I want to defend myself. I want to be safe. So you project into the future and you get everything all organized. You arrive at the moment, it's totally different. That is wasted time, spinning gears. In the moment when you are confronted with whoever it is or whatever it is, if you would shut up and get still within you, you would know what to do. You would know what to say. You would know exactly what the deep meaning of this experience was. You would know. Awakened living is living exactly here. Not moving one increment either way. Lovers do this a lot, projecting out. Oh, if I do this, then, you know, she's going to do that, and he's going to do that, and da-da-da, go down the line it goes. But when they're living it, it's not like that at all. Parents do it to their children. Oh, they're going to do that. No. Now. In the now. But you see, the reason that you don't like the now, are you ready? You don't like the now, my friends. Do you know why? Because you can't say anything meaningful in the now, and you communicate with your words all the time. Blah, 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 blah. When people come to me with marital problems or love relation problems or parent and children problems, the answer always is you are listening to the words until you have buried the feelings. You are yelling and talking and cajoling and crying and moaning and groaning and complaining and analyzing and counter-analyzing, and you have forgotten the feeling. The feeling. And the feeling comes in the silence, and the feeling comes in the quiet, and the feeling is what carries you. And the feeling and the moment tell you exactly what is appropriate for the moment. Spontaneously appropriate for the moment. This is why books on how to do are no good at all. Please don't read books on how to do anything. Except maybe put together a Sony. I think that would be helpful. I hope I've been... This is the only tool that I see. All right, I yell and scream about meditation. Yes, I do. I agree. Because I see, on the whole, it's helpful. Even universally, that's not true. Some people simply cannot meditate for various reasons. Fine. The reason I say meditate is that becomes a time when you have said, all right, future, past, bury yourselves for 1 hour or 20 minutes or whatever, and this is, I'm going to do this. I'm going to be here with myself for 20 minutes. The rest of the day, I'll go back to you. But this is my time. And the more you do it, the more grounded you get in that, the more at one you become with the moment, because that's all meditation is sitting in the moment and shutting up. That's all it is. Be as glamorous as you want about it. That's it. When you begin to know those energies really are there, that they're benevolent, the most horrifying past life is benevolent, is utterly benevolent. When you begin to know that you can feel all right in the moment, if you'll just stay in the moment, then lo and behold, you might be one of those exceptional people who says, I'm going to be good to myself. I'm going to stay in the moment because that's where I feel best. And you certainly are less of a humbug to others in the moment. You know, you make a lot of humbug for each other, all of you. Lots of humbug. Lots of humbug because, you know, you don't want to get out of the future and the past, do you? The games are all played in the future and the past. Comparing and... Don't forget the hierarchy. You know, are you on top or am I on top? I mean, that's very important. And unless you're talking, how are you going to know who's on top? You see, you decide through your speech who's winning. Do you know that? That's how you decide through your speech who wins all these little games that you play. And the last one with the best shot before the door is slammed, they're the one who wins. You use your mouths to sabotage what's really going on. Silence is not a big winner in the modern world. It just isn't. Look at what you do to stay out of it. This wonderful universal mandala, this television that just radiates, oh my goodness, day and night, or else we have to have music going, or else we have to have conversation going, or else we have to be thinking, or we have to be reading, or we have to be writing, or we have to be creating. We always do, wonderful. Why? I agree you have to do all of those things, but do you have to do them all of the time? It's just a matter of balance, the middle way. What's wrong with television? Nothing. But television all of the time in order to keep you from seeing and being who you are? Yes, that's a problem. In my estimation, that's a problem. If freedom is your goal, then it becomes a problem. Otherwise, what's the difference? Those movies are the same as your own inside movies. What's the difference? No problem. Stay in the moment. Feel the power of the moment. Stay open to the new, ever-changing powers of your own Tao. And then you begin to live a creative life. Because everything is ever new. You wake up in the morning and it's new. New drops have been added to the bowl. And it's new. And it's dynamic. And it's exciting. And it's creative. It's life. What is that in that bowl? Just the accumulated experiences of you. And that's worth paying attention to. So, I've gone on long enough, but if there are no more outstanding questions on that subject. Thank you all for coming.
Thank you, Bartholomew.